We good? You know, it amazes me after so long how distinctly I can remember the night of what I call the fight. It was probably 30, 35 years ago. Growing up in Alaska, my parents' house, we had a room downstairs we called the den. Always had the TV in it. Oh, thanks. Served a few other purposes, too, but one of the things I loved to do as a kid was we'd camp out down there. I'd have friends stay over, get our sleeping bags and pillows and movies, and just stay up late, sneak into the kitchen and get snacks, spy on the other family members. But I remember one night, my parents were out, my dad a babysitter. I decided to camp out all by myself down there. And my parents came home late. They were at a function at the fire hall. My father was a volunteer fireman, and they had a big fundraiser. And it became pretty clear they weren't getting along when they got home. And I always liked to have the door just a little open. It was dark in there, light out there, when my parents have parties and kind of spy on the adults. So I was listening. And I discerned pretty quickly my father's pretty drunk. And there'd been some, they're raising money for something where you bought chips or fake money and gambled through the night. And he'd written a big check for his friends and him to kind of keep going that night. And raising five kids on a teacher's salary, we did not have money and checks to write for gambling night at the fire hall. And they're screaming and yelling at each other, saying things parents shouldn't be saying. They don't know I'm there. I'm pretty terrified and quiet. Got quiet. I don't know. A drink was thrown in the face. This escalated. I mean, I was just terrified that night. I mean, never seen him go at it like that. I don't think I really slept that night. I mean, two things about that, though. One, 35 years later, I can remember everything about it. Where my sleeping bag was, my pillow, how far open the door was, things that were said, how long it went on. To me, that said it mattered, and it impacted, and it rippled throughout my life. The second thing is, you know, we were talking about the beloved son last week. I think that was a blow to my period and ending of the beloved son. It opened my eyes. I didn't view my parents the same after that night and other incidents. Saw my mom as frustrated, angry, controlling. My father is a highly functioning alcoholic with anger just below the surface, but yet very passive. It just changed my perspective. I mean, we talk about these periods in our lives come to an end. I think mine came pretty abruptly to an end that night. I mean, we all move on. We all to that next stage. Some of us in a more natural progression than others, but mine was pretty abrupt. And moving from that beloved son, that area of kind of hopeful safety and protection we felt, onto that next stage, which we're going to call the Cowboy Ranger stage tonight. There's another critical question in that stage. In the early one, it was, am I adored? Am I valued? The key question in this next stage is, do I have what it takes? And that question gets answered whether you ask it or not, or whether you know it or not. It gets answered. I mean, maybe in a singular, dramatic way, maybe a thousand different ways over that period of time. I mean, and these things overlap this stage, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, late teens into the 20s, I would characterize it as. In this period, this Cowboy Ranger stage, it's really about moving into adventure and hard work are the two things that characterize it. Kind of a proving, a testing for the young man, real adventure, and it's gained through experience and getting out and doing. It's not a passive, it's not an observing stage in the young man's life, moving from that boyhood, that safety, that protection into this stage. Okay, no AV. I'll be doing some skits tonight. We'll give that a shot. Actually, I have a slide I need. I decided to put this one up just because this one struck me out of Luke talking about Jesus himself. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Yeah, this comes through experience. Actually getting out and doing, as I was saying. not a spectator sport. And there's a proverb I found. Some say it's Chinese, some say it's African, but it basically goes like, I hear, I forget, I see, I remember, I do. Am I blocking you? I understand. And it's that last part that hit me. I do, I understand. That's the Cowboy Ranger stage. You do. You come to learn. You know, for my story, growing up in Alaska, I mean, it was mountains, the town of Juneau, the ocean. And 30 miles of road end to end, you couldn't drive out of town. I mean, there was a lot of outdoors. There was a lot of hunting, biking, fishing. One of the memories, though, thinking back to this stage of my life, I remember was, I mean, every Saturday morning, it didn't matter. Unless there were maybe 3 feet of snow, but that wasn't that common in Juneau. We got the Nerf football Saturday mornings, finished our chores, and we went across the street. Big lawn in a high school, walkway with a cover, and another big lawn, end zone, and we would play from morning till night. And if the big kids showed up, you know, we just hoped to get on there and, you know, do something really cool so they'd want us on their team. And we didn't want to come home. I don't know if you guys remember Tang. It used to come in those big 10-gallon things, nasty astronaut powdered mix. We'd fill those up with water at the empty tank and haul them across the street and put them on the sidelines because we didn't want to go home and get a drink. If we had to take a leak, there were hedges, there were bushes. I think back now, they weren't very tall and there weren't that many bushes. Anyone driving by could probably figure out. And after 6 years, I got to believe that entire high school lawn just reeked of urine. But we just didn't. We never wanted to come up. And then if it started raining, oh, my gosh. Then we went from football to a game we called Smother the Mother. I think the politically incorrect term is smear the queer. But, you know, run as hard as you can, smash into your friends till you get tackled, and you throw the ball up, another one grabs it, and you tackle, tackle, tackle. We'd have to be hosed off, you know, the mud, just to be able to come back into the house. Sorry. Yes. So this experience, you know, it involves initiation and validation through that, as we're saying, that experience through the discovery and in the company of men. And I think there's no better example of that in Scripture than probably than the story of David. David versus Goliath. So, in the book of Samuel, Saul says, as David the young shepherd, of course, shows up on the battlefield after day after giant Goliath comes out taunting the Israelites, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And David replies, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who'd rescue me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. His time as a shepherd was that cowboy ranger stage. I mean, it was work, I'm sure, shepherding the herd, but you know they had some adventures out there in the field. And so he came to just know that he could engage, he could trust in God, and go into battle. In addition to just that engaging, that experience, that learning, there is a side of it, kind of the hard work, moving into that in this stage too. Kind of a balance to the adventure. I mean, that can look, I think, a lot different for different guys. I think it's, you know, you're kind of shielded that, hopefully, as the beloved son, that there's ways the world works. Life can be a little hard. I mean, this can be a time of helping, learning, or in a lot of cases, earning. I mean, I got a paper out in fourth grade. I think that was the last time I was unemployed for longer than 3 months. Bagging groceries for 2 years. Worked at a bank. Started dating the bank manager's daughter. Married her years later. As a side note. Yeah, worked as a deckhand on a fishing boat. That's hard work. That's adventure. It took me about 3 days to figure out I wasn't going to be a professional fisherman. I threw up starting on about day two. Back then, you used to have two-week halibut and salmon openings up in Alaska, and I would throw up pretty much for two straight weeks. Swear I'd never do it again, get my 1.5% paycheck, and get back on a boat in 2 weeks. But anyway, it was a good experience. Yeah, but you start to learn how the way things work and some things you have to submit to. I was thinking about, you know, talking about playing football. Well, one day we thought the football went up on the roof. We discovered you could shimmy up a drain pipe and get it. And there's a ladder to the top of the gym, you know. And get up there and looked around and was, we could play football up here. And next thing, there's six of us on the roof. And then the Juneau Police Department showed up. And somehow they knew we'd climb down the back and jump off the back of the high school and try and get away. And we didn't. You know, you play on an old rotted out ferry dock in downtown, screwing around, jumping on boards, destroying it. Eventually, you and your friend are going to go through it and land on the rocks below, you know. You show up late for your job as a bagger at the grocery store every day with an excuse. Pretty soon, you're the one on the floor with a scrub brush or emptying out the garbage dumpster in back. But also in the stage, like the stage of the beloved son, there's experience, there's work, but there's also potential for wounding in this stage. Wounding or areas where you just don't get that development, that initiation, that validation. Adventure. If you're not allowed or there's no one there to lead. It's just critical for this stage to have that adventure, that experience. And if you're not allowed by parents or there's no one to help really take you into that adventure, lead you into that, that can be wounding to a young child's heart. Or even beyond that, the emasculation of never being allowed to do it. I mean, right now my son's 10, just turned 11. He's kind of moving from liking the hugs and kisses of mom to wrestling with dad to being embarrassed by the hugs and kisses from mom to let's go shoot airsoft. You know, he's kind of moving into that thing. And it's tough for mom. She doesn't want to let go. But she has to. You know, work being another critical part about kind of learning how the world works. If you don't have those confidence-building experiences, those learning experiences, that can leave an empty place in a young man's heart. If the work or the adventure is overwhelming, unfit for the young man's heart, too much, he fails repeatedly, and especially if this happens, and there's no older man, father, teacher, someone, a mentor to offer interpretation of that setback, encourage him, get back on the horse again. Can really leave a young cowboy, ranger heart wounded. I had a couple slides I was going to insert in here, but I can't figure out how to do it, so I'll jump to them after. This is part of my son moving past mom's safety level. That's a potato cannon. I don't know what his father was trying to compensate for by making it 7 feet tall. We are building a smaller one as we speak. Mom wasn't thrilled about that. Neither was the Duval Police Department. And, you know, this quote from I should have put the shot of him in the police car. That was from a different, that was Duval days, but... I read this in a book called Fathered by God by John Eldridge, and it really jumped out at me as far as my story. Much of the anger we see in young men comes from this inexperience because they're ready and fired up about, but have no outlet, no place to go. So it comes out in anger. And I put, you know, this is still an area God is fathering me in. That passiveness I spoke about in my father, just shutting down, not being present, not being there to teach, validate, encourage. It developed some things in me for compensating for that, over-competitiveness. And I still see it coming out today, and I really had to take God back into that and say, what's going on with this? I mean, I thought I was past this. I thought I had healing, and I still see that anger coming out today. So it's an ongoing process. Oh, good. Okay. I'd like to show you a movie clip. What would an adventure talk be without a movie clip? I'll set this up briefly. It's a movie, October Sky. I don't know if you've seen it, about a young man named Homer growing up in a Virginia mining town. Everybody works in the mine. And one day they see Sputnik, the first Soviet satellite in the 50s, go over, and he's inspired by it, wants to get into rocketeering, encouraged by a teacher to do it. Of course, his father's the head of the mine, and he thinks son's going to follow in his footsteps. And it's not very encouraging, not very participating. this really illustrated for me, it's kind of a combination of two clips, just that young man's heart, that passion for adventure, for proving himself, and at the same time, that desire for the involvement and validation of his father. Let's give it a shot.
You know, just stuff like that takes time.
You let me out?
What are they doing charging Olga for that kind of a pump?
Yeah, I'm salvage something up here.
Hey, Dick. Hey.
Oh, Homer.
I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate what you did for me. I know it wasn't easy for you, so thank you. Hey, we're shooting off our last rocket day at 5 o'clock, so if you'd like to come see it.
I got a lot of work to do.
All right. Well, I just thought I'd ask.
Here you met your big hero. Didn't even know it.
I know you and me don't exactly see eye to eye on certain things. I mean, yeah, we don't see eye to eye on just about anything. But, Dad, I come to believe that I got it in me to be somebody in this world. And it's not because I'm so different from you either. It's because I'm the same. I mean, I can be just as hard-headed and just as tough. I only hope I can be as good a man as you are. I mean, sure, Dr. Von Braun's a great scientist. But he isn't my hero.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wired up for me, will you?
Yeah.
Gotta do so.
Hi, Homer.
Hi.
Congratulations on winning the science fair.
Thanks.
Gotta be the most exciting thing that's ever happened around here. I was thinking, Homer, if you've got some time.
Excuse me, Dorothy. Hey, everybody, can we have your attention, please?
Come on, Homer, let her fly.
We're going to launch rocket in a minute, but we'd like to say thank you first.
If it wasn't for y'all, we'd never gotten into any science fair. We probably never gotten fans blown up my mom's fence. But we did, because of your help and support. And this is for Colwood. There are a few people who believed in us even before we did. We'd like to dedicate this rocket to them. To Ike Bukowski. And Mr. Boland, who helped us so much. To the person who first inspired us. Our teacher, Miss Riley. And finally, I'd like to dedicate this rocket to my mom, and to...
my dad. You know, it won't fly unless somebody pushes the button. yours if you want it.
For me, that clip really hit me in two ways. I mean, one, if you see the movie, there's all this conflict between the father and son. I mean, he throws out one of his rockets. He throws out all his rocket gear. They get blamed for a forest fire. One of the rockets they didn't start. The whole town mine turns against them. He has his rocket engine stolen at the science fair, and it's actually his dad who puts his pride aside, negotiates with the union to open the mine again so the machinists can go back to work, build the part again, and, well, they didn't have FedEx, send it on a bus to them up there. So, and through all that conflict, you see in the end there was this deep respect for each other. There was still that deep father and son love through it all. It just symbolized through all the, everything we may have gone through back there in these early stages of our masculine journey. The father's there. The father loves us. The father wants restoration. He wants healing for us. I think it's ironic that the son is the one who points out to the father that they're exactly alike, and that's why they butt heads, even though they have their differences. The other thing that hit me was, you know, the rocket's dedicated to the teacher. He dedicates the medal to the town. He lets his father have the final launch on there. You know, he wants everybody around him. There's something there about this adventure, this hard work, this growth. I mean, it's this genuine strength during this stage is really about doing it for others. It's not about the adventure itself. I mean, there's a lot of guys, I think, get stuck in that where it's adventure for adventure's sake. They call it the Peter Pan syndrome, right? It's really just about you need another thrill, another adventure. It becomes kind of selfish instead of selfless. But the growth needs to be more than physical. It needs to be more than just the adventure. And this scripture kind of jumped out at me, maybe. Okay. Am I going to go through the whole video again? You guys want to see that again? It's a good video. I can give it a shot. Let's try turning this around and see if that works better. Maybe it was me. Okay, why don't I just read you the verse. 1 Timothy 4:8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I mean, that just symbolizes to me, it's not just about the physical growth, the adventure. There's got to be a come in the young man's heart and I'm going to get this word. Not ulterior motive. What's the word I'm looking for? No. There you go. Yeah. Selfless reason in his heart for it. Give the man a Cupid doll. I think that's the word we're looking for. And actually, gosh, look at this. I got two movie clips for you, almost right in a row. What a talk. This next clip I want to show you, I think really illustrates both some stages of this journey, I think some missteps in this journey, and the healing part, or the healing part that God can bring to this this part of our masculine journey. It's from Secondhand Lions. Maybe you guys have seen this. I'll give you a brief setup. The young man in this scene had a mother who was kind of transient, one abusive boyfriend after another, dumped him with his crazy uncles who didn't know, appeared not to know how to raise a young boy. And they're having lunch this day, and this was what happens.
Since this boy was suckling on his mama's tit, he's been given everything but discipline. And now his idea of courage and manhood is to get together with a bunch of punk friends and ride around irritating folks too good-natured to put a stop to it.
Hey, who do you think you are, huh?
Just dumb kid, huh? Don't kill him. Hug McCann. I fought in two world wars and countless smaller ones on three continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of natives no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost a dozen fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman with a passion, a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am. Now go home, boy.
Show these old bastards who's tough. Get out your knife. Yeah.
Now, boys, you're fixing to let those teenage hormones get you into a world of trouble.
Damn it, guard, did I ask you to butt in?
Pup, you just come out of the hospital.
Well, hey, there's only four of them.
Yeah, man. Well, look, you fight this one first, yeah. And then I'll let you fight the other three after, okay?
Yeah. Watch this kid.
Now, you better pick that knife up. Because, son, you're going to need all the help you can get.
Come on, Frankie. Get him, Frankie. Cut him, Frankie. Get him, Frankie. Get him, Frankie. Cut him. Oh, yeah.
All respect in the book.
Okay. Hold it wrong, son. Not like this. You always do it like this. Smooth.
All right.
Try it again.
Come on, Frankie. Come on, Frankie. Get him. Come on. Okay. Get him, Frankie. Cut him. Cut him. There you go. Cut him, Frankie. Come on. Stop. Stop. Stop.
You three had better get in there and help.
Always hug the bad guy. He's selfish that way.
But there's four of them. Three of them.
Can you share?
Nah. After 40 years, I'm used to it. Besides, right now, I figure he needs some work on it. Go! Go! Go!
I actually two great movies I highly recommend if you haven't seen them. But, yeah, for me, this one spoke like the young boy there. I mean, this kid's abandoned by his mom. I don't know if he knows who his dad is. Dumped with these crazy uncles. They're pretty ornery at first. But as it kind of turns out, this this tough love, this pushing, testing him, really gets this kid to start to grow in confidence. I mean, you can see the look on his face sitting there at the bar with the boys when they come in. He starts to smile, starts to come alive when he talks about the adventures he had and putting these young punks in his place. It's a rough lesson, but I think it's one the kid enjoyed. Then there's the teens. I mean, they're in this Cowboy Ranger stage, but it's all bravado, all macho. What does he call them? Teen punks or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's God giving them a hard lesson. But the beautiful thing about this was, if you watch the remainder of that scene, they get back to their farm, and Hub's driving their cars. Their car with the teenagers in it. They're all beat up and bloody. They want to go home. He gets them some steak, throws it on their eyes. And then in the end, I don't know if you can see this that well. Maybe give me a quick light dimming. This is the end of the scene. He goes and gives them, he calls it the speech that he gives to every young man. It's what every boy should know about becoming a man. And this scene goes on for a couple minutes. You don't hear the speech, and they're nodding their heads and shakes their hand, puts them back in the car, and sends them home. I thought, oh, to me that was just like kind of God's wise counsel. And for Hub himself, feeling kind of a little old and useless and over the hill, still desiring that adventure, that young place in his heart. I think that's a lot like God's desire for us, that wise counsel, that healing for those unfathered places, those undeveloped places in our hearts. But I think the most critical thing, and this took me a long time to realize, is you have to give it the weight it deserves. I mean, this Cowboy Ranger stage was 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, I don't know how many years ago for some of us. And I often poo-pooed it and said, it's on the past, things happened, my life wasn't perfect. But it's things like remembering the night of the fight in that kind of detail, and it still stirs emotion in me, it mattered. It's rippled throughout my life in some fashion. That I've taken back to God and found healing. But there's other things. You know, Randy last week was sharing, you know, a story popped up about his trout fishing and finding a little side pond full of trout, trying to, you know, make his stepfather proud so many years later, and God reinterpreting that for him. It's important. It matters. You need to give it that weight. And you have to be willing to go to those areas. I mean, it's not always fun. But our Heavenly Father wants to father us there. He wants that healing. He wants us to be the men He knows we are and can be. You know, that question every young man's heart of, do I have what it takes? He wants to answer that for us, but we have to be willing to go there and get that healing. I'll just say this from personal experience. Without it, without getting that restoration and vanquishing those unanswered questions, I don't know, it just, it'll come back. It'll come bubble back up in your life somewhere. For me, you know, now God's working on, what's up with these flaring up of anger here? These things of, you know, I don't know, feeling frustrated and inadequate in areas and just disproportionate anger. We're working on that right now. Maybe that'll be another talk for one of these days. You know, one other thing I realized in this process is sometimes that healing looks like testing, challenging from God. And so to have that framework and know that, to recognize fathering and initiation versus warfare or life sucks and life hard is critical. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes guys around you. It takes knowing that, having that perspective to differentiate and know that that is from God and that is a challenge and He's refathering you in some area. I think for me the most profound experience for finding God in my story was breaking a vow I didn't even realize. And by that I mean, at some point in my life, I said, I will never be like my father. I don't think I shared. I saw him as kind of passive, controlled, frustrated. I will never be like my father. And I've shared this with some of you. I live my life probably knowing it and not knowing it. Not where's my strength, who am I, what's my gifting, how does God see me, but I will not be like him. If that's him, I'm going this way. Not where do you want me and how do you see me. And it took probably 30 years later, going back into that with God, and God actually saying to me, oh man, I just realized it's a lot like that October sky thing. We're a lot alike. God said, no, this is how you're exactly like your father, and it's the best thing about you, and it's the thing I admire, and it's where your true strength lies. Ooh, that took a while to accept, but once I did, it changed my perspective, probably sent me on certainly a new direction instead of fleeing who he was, stepping into my strength and who God said I was. But I had to go there. It wasn't, and I had to give it the weight and the importance it deserved, you know, 30 years later. So there is that critical question at this stage. Do I have what it takes? And one way or another, it was answered for all of us. And that answer remains part of us today. Your Heavenly Father's answer is yes, you do. I mean, he sees the true you. He knows you. And his answer is yes. The question for you is, do you know it? And are you willing to go back with him to allow him to fill, reinterpret, heal those unfathered places in your heart so that you know that answer is yes, I do have what it takes. I've got a slide here, and I didn't prep my AV boys to see if we could. Do we have any background music by any chance? Not a deal killer. We have a little time of reflection. I kind of came up with some things to ponder before we have some small group time. And oh, there's where Timothy went. Yeah, reflection. Mark moved it. I know he did. just remembering. Back in that time, that Cowboy Ranger stage of adventure, discovery, physical challenge and work, just kind of letting your mind wander back to that point in your life. Maybe the best memories of that time, or maybe it's memories filled with that regret, sorrow, and longing. And then just asking that question, if there are unfathered places that he wants to revisit with you. So if we'll just take maybe 5-6 minutes, kind of have some time, write things down if they come to you, and then we'll break into a small group.